It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome, everybody, to episode 58 of Taylor Talk. I am Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
How you guys doing this week?
Excellent.
Good, good.
Pretty good. How about you, Adam?
I'm doing okay. You know, I'm back in the conversation with you guys. That's always fun. So,
Where'd you go?
Where'd I go?
Yeah, you were in the conversation last week.
Yeah.
Are you just happy to be back?
I am so happy to be back. Anytime I get to talk to my good buddy Steve and Diane, like, it's so much fun.
There was like a delay when you were saying our names. Are you sure?
I know. You're like, oh yeah, those people that I do this podcast with.
It was really just because I forgot your names, to be honest. Like, let's be real. So let's get on with the episode. We've got a lot planned for all you listeners out there. We've got news and upcoming tour stuff, as we always do. Plus, we're going to answer a big question later in the episode, so stay tuned for that. Before we get going, though, I've just got a quick announcement with regards to last week's episode. Last week, you guys remember, we covered the ACMs, the Academy of Country Music Awards. And we had a lot of debate going on because Taylor lost the Entertainer of the Year award to Luke Bryan, and we were trying to figure out how much of the vote comes from popular vote versus the Academy members' vote. And we still haven't found the exact ratio, but we did, in fact, find a PDF file on the Academy of Country Music's website that details all of the voting criteria. We're going to link to that in the episode guide on taylortalk.org. It's got a lot of good information, including the fact that it does verify that that vote is split between Academy votes and popular votes. So, in case you're curious and think there's a controversy and Taylor got robbed, you'll be able to check that out in the episode guide. But for now, Steve is going to give us some news.
Okay, Taylor performed with Tim McGraw and Keith Urban. They did Highway Don't Care at the Tim McGraw Superstar Summer Night. The ACMs put on the day after the ACM Awards. That was on April 8th. The entire show performance will air on CBS May 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. I was there for that. It was a great performance by pretty much anybody that was anybody in country music. What happened was it seemed like a lot of people that were there the previous night for the awards stuck around and performed. First, I wanted to say that the Highway Don't Care piece was absolutely flawless. Keith, Taylor, and Tim got it right on the very first try. A lot of the stuff that you see on TV, actually, they had to do two takes for. Almost every single song of the night took two takes. That one take, absolutely fabulous. So that's one thing to, you won't get to see all those little details that, you know, I got to see there live or anybody else that happened to see that live. But it was just amazing to see that performance, just absolutely flawless.
Cool. So would, basically what you're trying to say is you highly recommend everybody watch this on CBS when it airs on May 19th.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely a wonderful show to see. They seem to do this every year. They did one last year. They did one for Lionel Richie. So
right.
It seems like they have the performers stay in town, and then they all come out and perform the next day for some sort of special show that they broadcast later on CBS.
Cool, cool. Thanks for that, Steve.
Welcome, sir.
Also, on April 11th, a new Diet Coke commercial featuring Taylor Swift aired during American Idol. The commercial was part of Diet Coke's Stay Extraordinary platform, which celebrates the self-assured and aspirational people who enjoy Diet Coke every day. If you missed the commercial when it was on TV, check it out in our episode guide at taylortalk.org for episode 58. It was a really cool video. It has Taylor in it, obviously, as well as some actors, and they did some cool stuff. Don't drink Diet Coke, but watch the video.
That's your own personal recommendation. That's not Taylor's recommendation.
Yeah, sorry. That viewpoint.
That was not the message of the video.
That is the express viewpoint of Adam. That is my own opinion. I don't think Diet Coke's healthy. Sorry. Sidetracked.
It's a good disclaimer to have, though. That was worthwhile.
Thanks, Steve. I'm glad someone supports me. Somebody out there from Diet Coke is going to be like writing me the nastiest email ever right now. How dare you undermine us? Anyway, also this past week, Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, and some of the people that are on tour made a stop through Disney World. They had their show in Orlando that night. And there were some guests at Disney World who were a little bit upset about that. They said that Taylor and Ed were line jumpers.
Yeah, they were. Which, I mean, I can kind of see why they were line jumpers, because I think if Taylor Swift had to wait in a line for maybe like an hour or something like that, that's an immense security issue for her, because if word gets out that Taylor is in this one spot for an hour, like, you know, she's gonna get mobbed, like people are gonna want to take pictures with her. So I mean, I don't think it's safe for her to wait in line. Like, that's just the truth of it. Like, she just can't do that.
Well, here's my opinion on the matter. A lot of these amusement parks offer front of the line passes that you can purchase. Who's to say
but
that
Disney
Taylor
World
and,
doesn't
they don't
they don't offer that. They offer fast passes, but you still have to wait in like a smaller line. So it's not that you get to jump to the front, but you just have to wait less.
Either way, who's to say Taylor and Ed didn't pay additional for that privilege?
It's possible. We don't know.
But either way, some fantastic pictures came out that Taylor tweeted of her and Ed on the Rock and Roller Coaster. There's pictures of them in Tower of Terror, and also a picture of Taylor in front of a giraffe in the Animal Kingdom.
That was cool.
It was super cool. Who was it? Maybe it was someone on Twitter. I don't even remember. Somebody was like, Taylor photobombed a giraffe.
The pictures of the whole thing are just hilarious, and I'm seeing it pop up pretty much on everyone's Twitter feed there. And, you know, there's also a lot of memes going around there, especially with the roller coaster part.
Yeah, I definitely saw those all over Tumblr.
Okay, and finally, the Us Collectors edition came out with Taylor Swift on the cover. This is the first one in, what, a couple years since the last one they did for her, the Collector's Edition, where it's basically exclusively Taylor Swift. Check your local newsstands to see if you can find that. I personally found it in my local grocery store. Diane found it in Walgreens, and I'm finding a lot of people online are saying that they're finding it at Walgreens. So if you have a Walgreens near you, check it out. It's got a whole lot of great stuff in it. It's got new Taylor posters. It's got just all kinds of photos, information, things like that. You know, I flipped through it a little bit, and I really like it, except for one thing.
What's that one thing, Adam?
I'm glad you asked, Diane. Thank you.
Hey, one thing. That's a lead into that one thing that you don't like. No.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's actually an interesting pun, although I have no issue with that one thing. But the one thing I have a slight issue with is that there's a section on Taylor's crushes, quote-unquote, or guys she supposedly dated, and it really bothers me. I feel like this magazine was designed to exclusively promote Taylor, and I think what they're doing by having this section, if you flip it open to that section, it's page 24, if anybody happens to have their copy in front of them, the first thing you're going to see is the face of that guy from Les Mis. Now, that was purely rumor. Supposedly, Taylor met him while auditioning for a role in Les Mis, and I just feel like they are perpetuating a rumor that Taylor is a dating crazed whatever, that she dates so many people, despite what she said in what was that interview, the Vanity Fair one, right?
Yes,
where she said she's dated only two people since 2010. So I don't know, what do you guys think?
I feel like U.S. is just trying to sell the magazine, because, I mean, I want to say like 90% of the articles that are printed about Taylor right now are about the guys that she dates or she has dated. So they're just kind of trying to be part of that team, I guess, to sell magazines, which I think is kind of low, because, I mean, there are like 6 or 7 pages that are just like this huge guy's face that she dated or whatnot. There's a huge picture of Harry Styles, there's a huge picture of John Mayer, and I was looking at it and I was thinking, like, really? Like, there's so much content that you could fill in those pages, and instead you just chose to print like a huge picture of somebody. Like, it almost seems like a space filler.
It seemed like there wasn't very much content overall. It was mainly pictures, and unlike the Vanity Fair, which was a very lengthy exclusive interview with Taylor, this was just kind of bits and pieces thrown together in a magazine to sell it.
Right. And part of the problem that I feel, though, is that half of these guys she didn't date. Like, that's where, that was my big main point there, is that it's pushing a rumor in something that's supposed to be promoting her in a positive manner.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's something to push people, and you know, to Taylor in a positive manner, or if it was more of a way of selling magazines, because she is the most popular person in country music and pretty much all of music right now. So having her on the cover is definitely going to sell magazines, but you know, the actual contents of it, they can pretty much put what they want in there. Any of the speculation, you know, that to them is good content for what people want to see in magazines. Now, personally with me, I would say that, you know, I'm not interested in any of that. I don't get into the Taylor gossip and anything along the lines of that.
I don't know. I just think it's a low move on their part, but there's not really much else to say. So, you know, why don't we move on? Diane, can you...
Yes?
Tell us what's been going on the tour lately.
I can. Well, this past week, Taylor had 3 shows in Florida. On April 10th, she had a show in Miami. And the special acoustic song for that night was Today Was a Fairy Tale. On April 11th, she performed in Orlando for the first night. And the special acoustic song for that was You're Not Sorry. And that was the second time that she has sang that song at a Red show. And finally, on April 12th, she performed for the second night in Orlando, and the acoustic song for that night was Our Song. You can see videos of these performances on taylorswift13.org, as well as in the episode guide for this episode, episode 58. Taylor has several concerts coming up later this month. She will be in Atlanta, Georgia, on April 18th and 19th. Then she's going to Tampa, Florida, on April 20th, and then she's going to Cleveland, Ohio on April 25th, and then on to Indianapolis on April 26th, and finally Lexington, Kentucky on April 27th.
And speaking to that, some very exciting news, right, Diane?
Yes, I'm so excited.
So Diane and I scored some tickets to Indianapolis show on the 26th, so we have to give a big shout out to the Weber family who lives out there and invited us along to go with them. So I'm very excited about that. We're going to be flying out that weekend and it's going to be awesome.
Yes, so if you are going to be at that show, you need to tweet us because we want to meet you.
Yes, Indianapolis, let's hang out, let's do it, let's party, let's Swift it up. Yeah,
yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, can you guys do me a favor when you return though?
What?
No.
No tour spoilers.
Of course not, Steve. I will not talk to you for a month. I'm kidding. I just won't say anything about the Red Tour.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen in Atlanta, Georgia. That's usually a show that Taylor seems to have special guests at. So, you know, especially being there 2 days, that might be an interesting show to see.
Who was there? I feel like that was one of B.O.B.'s appearances last time, right?
Wasn't it Usher?
Oh, yeah, because she was like, what's up, A-Town? And then, yeah, that happened. It was Usher.
Where was B.O.B. then? You guys are right. Usher was in Atlanta, as was T.I. I was mistaken. B.O.B., it turns out, was in Dallas. In case anyone listening's wondering, I just looked that up. We
so, had a momentary pause.
Had a momentary pause, which was invisible to you guys. But that's who was there. And so I hope B.O.B. appears at something again, and they do both of us.
That is a great song. It'll be great to hear that live again.
Look at you, Steve, hear it live again. I'm Steve Ditch. I see Taylor all over the
world. No, I didn't hear it live, but I mean, other than seeing it on YouTube, I was not at the Dallas show, unfortunately.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, well, that's it for our tour updates this episode. Let's move on to our mini segments. Diane's going to give us our first one.
The first one comes from Thinking Swift on Twitter, and they say, you know you're a Swiftie when you fangirl over being tweeted by Grant's mom. I didn't know Grant's mom had a Twitter.
Yeah,
so
she does.
So props to you for figuring that out.
She does. Grant actually tweets with her a lot. Steve, give us our next one.
You know you're a Swiftie when your literature professor asks your class what 13 represents and everybody says supernatural or bad luck and you shout Taylor Swift. And then everyone in the class just stares at you in disbelief. And that's from John from Facebook.
John, if I was in class with you, I'd give you a high five, not stare at you.
That is pretty awesome.
That's a funny one. Then finally, the last one is, you know you're a Swiftie when your teacher thinks it's weird that you know all of Taylor's band members, and then your friend says, I even know Taylor's guitarist's girlfriend's daughter's name because I have to listen to Hannah talk about it all day. And that was a text message. I assume it's from Hannah, because Hannah's the person in that you know you're a Swiftie when. So if that was in fact you, Hannah, thank you.
That's funny. So I believe they're talking about Grant's girlfriend, Claire's daughter, which is Lulu, right?
Lulu is Claire's daughter's name. Lulu Calloway. So thanks for sending in all of those mini segment submissions. We look forward to reading more on the future episodes. But we're going to carry on to our main discussion now, where we're going to answer a big question that was actually presented to me recently by a fellow Swiftie in the community, just over the course of a personal conversation. We just happened to be chit-chatting. And the question is, has Taylor peaked? My friend who I was talking to seems to feel that Taylor peaked with Red, with its 1.2 million in sales its first week. Does anyone know offhand what its current sales numbers are?
Not off the top of my head, I don't know.
I mean, that's not relevant. Either way, it's a huge, huge record. So what do you guys think? Has Taylor peaked?
I feel like we can't say that because we can't predict the future. But, I mean, she's bigger than anyone else's right now, arguably. I feel like she might have. Like, it's a possibility. But I mean, I hope not, but it's a possibility.
See, and I disagree. I don't think she has peaked, and I'll tell you why. Just because she is the biggest thing out there right now does not mean she's the biggest thing ever. So everybody was making a big deal. They're like, you know, she sold 1.2 million albums the first week Red came out. They're like, that's such a huge deal. It's the first time in 10 years since it's been done, since Eminem released The Eminem Show in 2002. But here's the thing. If you look back at those numbers, Eminem sold 1.3 million the first week. He actually sold bigger numbers than Taylor. So hitting bigger numbers is possible. Just because she's the biggest now doesn't mean she can't still become bigger.
Well, as a group, NSYNC actually holds that record. Now, the actual numbers didn't start until 1991, so anything previous to that isn't actually part of this discussion, unfortunately. So anything like the Beatles or the Eagles or Michael Jackson really doesn't come into the numbers. But NSYNC's No Strings Attached actually had 2.4 million in sales in the first week.
That was a good album. I bought that album when it came out. I think Taylor does have room to, I guess, grow in a way, because there are still goals that she can hit, but I'm a little bit skeptical. Like, I hope that Taylor hasn't peaked, but I am realistic enough to be aware that it's a possibility.
Well, I just don't see it happening, because if Taylor continues at the current rate she's going, because here's the thing, she's still growing. Her Twitter following's growing every day, just everything around her is growing every day. And I think if she keeps fans in the loop like she does, and on this schedule, I mean, she has an album come out every 2 years. It's on a cycle. 2 years, new album. 2 years, new album. And fans know that. So they're going to stick by her side more so than they will another artist who's on some sporadic schedule where they're like, oh, yay, a new album. I really love this artist. Then all of a sudden, they're like, wait, this person hasn't come out with one for a while. I'm starting to lose interest. And then by the time that person does come out with a new album, they've already lost some of their audience.
Adam, speaking into that, there are about 9 albums that were released that have over 40 million copies sold. And one of the artists that's on that list is actually Shania Twain with Come On Over. And the fact that she's actually someone that Taylor looked up to, that's kind of an interesting one. That Shania Twain in her time was, I mean, the other people on this list, it's Michael Jackson's Thriller, AC/DC Back in Black, Pink Floyd, The Dark Side of the Moon, Eagles, Their Greatest Hits, Bee Gees, Saturday Night Fever, and Fleetwood Mac, Rumors. I mean, those are some huge albums. And to have Shania Twain's name in there kind of made me want to take a look at that and figure out what happened to Shania Twain. Like, how did she go that high up, and then all of a sudden she peaked, and then she came down? And really, as you mentioned about, you know, album releases, that was actually what got her. She had released a Greatest Hits album in 2004, but then really there was nothing else that happened. Like in 2008, she released a couple of songs she did with Billy Currington and Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, but she had 2 follow-up singles that didn't fare very well at all, and they didn't even gain much airplay on the country top 40, and she pretty much faded away at that point until she tried to release an album in 2011. Well, unfortunately, going from 2004 to 2011,
you've already lost it.
Right, exactly. You have to keep your fans right there on the tip of your tongue with them, because after that, if you lose them, it's so difficult to get them back. I mean, there is some comeback stories when it comes to music success, but very rarely does that happen. It's you got to keep their interest as long as you can.
Right. And at the end of the day, the record business is just that, it's a business. And in business terms, there's something called cost of acquisition, which is how much it costs you to get a new customer, in their case, a new fan. And it's far easier to retain a fan than it is to gain a new one. So speaking to your point, Steve, that's right. They just double their workload. If they have a 7-year gap like that, then all of a sudden they've lost that retention and they have to gain those fans back.
That's correct.
And that costs them a lot more in both time and money.
Right. Yes, that, I mean, it makes a huge difference on what you can really do as an artist when you have to work to build your fan base back up again. Another one of the items I wanted to talk about was maybe a little bit of the discussion of why people think that she may have peaked now. And I think part of that has to go with the recent award shows that we've seen. We've seen the ACM Awards, where she was up for Entertainer of the Year. She had won it the previous 2 years. So, you know, for the fact that she didn't win it this year made it look like, okay, well, since she couldn't put three consecutive together, does that mean that, you know, she's no longer the top country artist? Now Luke Bryan's the top country artist and she's on her way down. The CMAs were the same way, where she had won last year, but this year it was actually Blake Shelton that won. So she's kind of been empty-handed this year, so people were starting to think that that may be the end, but part of it can still be the fact that Red is not eligible for a lot of these awards until pretty much the next year. It will be the awards that will be the late part of 2013 into 2014. So I definitely am not giving up that, you know, her time is done, that she's peaked and she's, you know, been passed on to the next country artist is coming up, or the next pop person is coming along. If she can retain her audience and keep the fans wanting more, she will stay on top for as long as she can possibly stay there.
See, Steve, and that's exactly what I was trying to get at with that 2-year schedule, is that's how she's going to retain her fans, because they're not going to have enough time to move on to something else before she comes out with new material for them. It's kind of like if you watch your favorite television show. If your favorite TV show is on Friday at 8 p.m., and you know it's every Friday at 8 p.m., they're not going to lose you, because you always have something to come back to. And if Taylor keeps producing new material, she's not going to lose us.
You mean kind of like how this podcast comes out on Monday, every Monday, right?
Well, that was, yeah, I guess you can say that. We are on a Monday release schedule now. So for those of you listening, every Monday, tune into Taylor Talk. There's a subtle plug for ourselves.
How about that? Well, another piece of that, Adam, is the fact that a lot of artists at some point in time either have problems with their record label, where the record label doesn't like the music that they're trying to put out, or sometimes the albums are forced. You know, they hit that 2-year cycle and all of a sudden they're putting an album together with material that they're not even really enjoying. You know, it was like, oh, I don't like this song, but we got to put it on the album because we need X number of songs. And I think what Taylor's going to be able to do, that she's not going to have that issue, is the fact that I think she comes out with so much material that she writes during that, you know, during the tour and during all her downtime, that she will always have enough new, good, solid material for a new album every 2 years, which will retain her fans.
And you want to know, speaking to that, something interesting I was telling my friend when we were having this discussion the other day, is that because Taylor's constantly writing, and we've talked on past episodes about how Taylor said in interviews, she has like, what, 40 to 50 songs per album that has to narrow it down. Something that's going to continue her career even beyond her writing is the fact that they're going to have all that material to release on future things. Like, say, for example, 20 years from the Red release, in like 2032, they're going to come out with Red Extended Deluxe, and they're going to put some songs on that that originally got cut from Red.
That would be incredible.
I think they're going to do that with all the albums, and they're going to keep doing that. So it's going to be a long, long time before Taylor Swift goes away.
That makes total sense. I mean, a lot of artists have done that. I mean, they've even released, you know, some of the unreleased Beatles material that they've brought back to release now.
Exactly. That's right dead on where I was going. Taylor is not going anywhere.
Diane, did you have anything to add into that?
I did. I wanted to hear what you guys thought about the negative press that Taylor has been getting recently. You know, we mentioned earlier that in the special edition of Us, they had that full page spread of all of these guys that Taylor has dated or maybe has had some romantic connection to in the past. And I mean, recently, publicly, Taylor has been scrutinized for her romantic life. You know, there was that thing at the Golden Globes last month on Jeopardy. She was actually a like question. It was who is Taylor Swift, and the thing read, the 2009 best female country vocal went to her for White Horse, where she, shocker, goes off on an ex-boyfriend. So I'm wondering if you guys think that this negative portrayal of Taylor could hurt her career, or do you think that the diehard fans aren't going to listen to it and just be like, okay, well, that's just lies. We're not going to listen to the rumors.
To be honest, I think it can actually help her career, because there's the very old saying that any press is good press, because you're getting coverage and getting people to talk about you. So what it's doing to her by getting even this negative press is getting people to look into her and check out her music, because people are saying, oh, she writes and trashes ex-boyfriends. Now, if you're not really familiar with Taylor Swift and you're not familiar with that material, what's the first thing you do? You go and listen to that song they're talking about. And even if it does match their message, oh, she's just trashing an ex-boyfriend, there's a good chance you're going to like the song, because most of her songs are very, very, very good songs.
That's true. So you think that the negative press isn't going to affect anything and might actually be positive?
Yeah, I think it could actually help her out, because like I said, it gets people talking about her. It gets her name going around the world. You know, I don't know how they create statistics for this, but I know back in the 1990s, they said that Michael Jordan was the most well-known name on the planet. More or less, you could go anywhere and people knew the name Michael Jordan. And I'd be really curious if there's any current statistics to see how famous Taylor actually is, how well known the name Taylor Swift is on a global scale. Because I'll bet you it's up in that area, I guess, that height of familiarity.
I would have to agree with you, Adam. I mean, we had the Speak Now World Tour that went on the past couple years here. And when she went to these countries, I mean, you saw the amount of fans that were at those shows. It was incredible. It was, you know, stadium and arena filling. So she is known throughout the world. And I don't know if you can say that for a lot of country artists that, you know, to that level or even just music in general. I know that Lady Gaga has had, you know, a very large fan base. A couple other people have had large fan bases. But Taylor's is definitely a worldwide audience.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Steve, because on a global scale, there's still so much room to grow, because the question here is, has Taylor peaked? That's the whole question of this discussion. Now, everyone talks about this massive record she's accumulated, or not record, but just the number of followers on Twitter and on social media. She's got on Facebook 30-something million or higher. It might even be higher now. I don't know. I haven't checked recently on Twitter, somewhere around 26 million or so. We have a global population of 7 billion.
One thing that I've seen lately, Adam, to go with that point, is it seems like Swifties throughout the world have been starting hashtags that are for countries. Like, I've noticed there's ones like, for instance, they would do like Red Tour Orlando, something like that. But I've also seen like Red Tour Mexico, Red Tour Brazil. So like all the countries of the world, there's Swifties all over there, you know, hoping that some point in time that there is actually shows in their country, because there's a lot of our listeners and fellow Swifties that unfortunately Taylor has never been to their country yet. So the world is her oyster to explore, and she'll have fans wherever she goes.
That's precisely where I was going with that, Steve. The other countries really want Taylor. They want her to come to their country, and we hope they get her, because the more she goes to their country, the more she expands in those countries. Because if you look at it again from a business perspective, what does a business do that extends itself so large within one country that it can no longer get any bigger? It goes into other countries. And Taylor has that as a huge opportunity to prevent herself from peaking.
Right. So she's basically, Taylor has a lot of fans to choose from. She's got fans in the U.S. and then she's got fans all around the world. So, I mean, really, Adam, like you said earlier, she's got seven billion people?
7 billion people on
potential
the planet.
Fans.
Yeah. And Taylor will not stop till all 7 billion call themselves Swifty. There was actually, speaking to this discussion, there was actually a quote recently. Scott Borchetta, the CEO of Big Machine Records, Taylor's record label, did an interview with CBS where they actually asked him about whether or not he thought Taylor's popularity was waning. He said, "As far as her popularity waning, there's no sign of that anywhere. She's the only artist in the last 15 years to have over 2 albums debut with over 1 million in sales the first week." I mean, that's coming from the CEO of her record label. Even he sees no sign of her waning. And, I mean, granted, he could have a biased opinion on the matter. But, you know, I'm with him on that. I don't see these signs that people are making their claims off of.
Well, one of the things is I found this little tidbit of information. It said, with Red spending its 6 weeks atop the Billboard 200, Taylor Swift became the first artist in 43 years since the Beatles to log 6 weeks atop Billboard 200 with 3 consecutive studio albums.
That's insane. She's setting Beatles-type records now. That's awesome. And the Beatles, I mean, let's not forget, they went out when they were still on top of their game because they broke up. So Taylor does have the potential to keep going.
She can't break up with herself.
Well, you know, according to all the people writing the tabloids about her relationship, she probably can break up with herself. Yeah, so, I mean, if you guys have nothing else to say, I want to just wrap up our main discussion on whether or not Taylor has peaked. It's my personal opinion that she has not, that she still has room to grow. I'm assuming you guys agree with me?
Well, why don't we just go around the room here?
Go around the table.
Around the table for all 3 people?
Right.
Okay, Steve, do you think she's peaked?
No.
Diane, do you think she's peaked?
No.
Problem solved. It's unanimous among the panel of Taylor Talking. You know, we're experts in all, so...
Obviously.
I can't even say that with a straight face. We're just a bunch of fans like you guys. I really don't think Taylor's peaked, but we'll see. We'll see what happens in the future. Carrying along with our episode, we're going to go into another round of our trivia game, our Taylor Talk trivia game called Wheel of Taylor. We're going to put Steve up against Diane this episode.
Oh, not this again.
Steve doesn't like it because I always stump him.
I've not got one of these right yet. I feel like a horrible Swiftie.
Well, maybe this is your moment. This could be your big moment, Steve.
Steve, just look at it this way. Out of everybody listening, there's got to be someone else that doesn't know it besides you. Therefore, you're learning it together.
I like how you put that. That does make sense.
We're all learning together here. To be honest, I'm gonna go out a limb here, make a expose myself for a minute. But when I find these questions...
Was it really that funny?
Okay. I'm going to admit that when I find these questions for the Wheel of Taylor rounds, a lot of them I don't know before I find them either. So don't feel bad, Steve.
Well, where do you look these questions up so I can research ahead of time? I'll be prepared.
Yeah, we need to
time.
Study for
you know,
week.
It's from all over the place. All the questions are from various interviews that she's done, you know, just all over the place, anywhere I can find it.
Well, if anything, it's a learning experience, so I'll take that. Where's my question?
All right. Welcome to Wheel of Taylor. I'm your host, Adam. Today's contestants are Diane and Steve. Steve, first question goes out to you. What physical characteristic does Taylor love most about her kitty cat, Meredith?
Well, just for the fact that it's very photogenic, Meredith is... in any of those pictures, just almost makes you smile or laugh every time you see it. I'm going to go with the awkward poses that the cat always seems to be in.
That is not correct. Diane, do you know for a bonus point?
I'm going to go with her ears.
Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
Diane actually gets a bonus point for that.
Yes.
Taylor's favorite physical characteristic about Meredith is her awesome weird ears. That's a Taylor quote. Her awesome weird ears. Did you seriously just guess that or have you read that already?
Well, I mean, I was imagining Meredith in my head and I was thinking about what's different about her than the average cat. My first thought was that she doesn't sit like a cat. She sits awkwardly a lot. But Steve got that wrong. So I was like, okay, what else is different about Meredith? And she's got those like ears that are tapered down. So I guess your ears.
That's really weird that you came up with that on your own.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Well, it's not a surprise that she got an answer, right? Isn't it? I mean, you're trying to stump us, but
I am trying to stump you.
She got it right. Good for her.
Thank you,
Steve. Way to go, Diane.
Round of applause for Diane. Woo! All right. Now, Diane, for your actual question. You've got one bonus point. Here's your chance to earn one more. What method of contact did Taylor use to invite Ed Sheeran on the Red Tour?
Text message?
Ding, 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 ding. That is correct. Taylor texted Ed and invited him out on the Red Tour, so that's pretty cool.
I'm 2 for 2. That's never happened before.
22.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but Diane's feeling 22. Bam.
I am.
All right, so that's it for our Wheel of Taylor episode. And that's also it for our episode 58 of Taylor Talk. Before we sign off and say goodbye, I'm going to remind you there are tons of ways you can contact us, give us feedback, submit to the mini segments. The first, of course, is to email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to TaylorTalk13. You can leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. Again, make sure you identify yourself in a text message so we know it's you. Or you could leave us a voicemail directly on the website, taylortalk.org. We look forward to hearing from you guys. As always, if you love us, rate us on iTunes, give us a 5-star and a nice review. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next time for episode 58. This has been Adam.
And Diane.
And Steve.
Saying see you next week, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.